Now let's turn in our Bible to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to try to bring the message to you today from verse 21 down through verse 24 of Luke chapter 10. Now I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 22, the first part of verse 22 in Luke 10. All things. Now you name it. Think about it. All things are delivered to me of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man mediator. He is the Savior of sinners, the Savior of His people. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. All things are delivered to me of my Father. My Father. Now, as God, He has all things. But this is talking about His office as mediator, advocate, and surety of the covenant people. All things are in His hand. We read in Scripture that none can stay His hand or say unto Him, Lord God Almighty, what doest Thou? Someone who can stay a person's hand, if you could come up and stay my hand or control my hand or overpower my hand, that means you're stronger than I am. Nobody can stay or stop or change the hand of God. His hand's almighty. He has the almighty hand because He is the almighty God. Now, what does this include? It includes everything. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you. This is the testimony of the prophet of God. His name was John, the last of the Old Testament prophets. And he said this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. That's John 3:35. Given all things into His hand. Now, by way of introduction, the Lord had told these 70 sinners who were justified by grace to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And they did so. How long they were gone, we're not told. But the 70 that went preaching the kingdom of God, when they came back rejoicing that the devils were subject unto them. Notice verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. And the Lord told them not to rejoice. Don't rejoice just that the devils are defeated, because the Lord Jesus Christ has eternally defeated Satan and all of his followers. He always has the victory over him and all things. But he's saying, verse 20, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Your names are written in the book of God. Don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but rather rejoice because sinners are saved. Rejoice that God hath from eternity elected a people unto salvation in Christ before the foundation of the world, and has recorded a book of God's eternal decrees that cannot be changed. If God has ever put your name there, it's still there, and it cannot be removed. We call that the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I preached from this particular verse there, we talked about God's election of grace, how He had chosen a people unto salvation before the foundation of the world. Now, why do we preach those things? Why do we preach that God chose a people in Christ, that He unconditionally elected a people unto salvation? Can't we just leave that part out? No, sir. You cannot preach the gospel of Christ without talking about the shepherd and his sheep, can you? We preach those things because those things are taught in the Word of God. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And what we find in the book, we must preach it if we're God's servants. Now, I want us to see in these verses today, from verse 21 down through verse 24... five important lessons that God the Holy Spirit has recorded for us. And I pray that you and I may have this revealed to our heart again, anew, and afresh, and maybe for the first time this morning. Now here's the first lesson is this, in verse 21. In that hour, this is the hour that God has decreed from all eternity. You remember, all time is in His hand. In that hour, the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior, rejoiced in His heart. He rejoiced in His mind, in His thoughts, when thinking about how God saves sinners and thinking about the reason that He came to save sinners. What did He do? He rejoiced in His spirit. Now, this is the only place in the four Gospels, and I mean by that the record of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only place in the four Gospels where it is written that the Lord Jesus Christ rejoiced in His spirit. That ought to get our attention. That ought to draw our focus in. If this is the only time that it said that He rejoiced in His spirit, what's He rejoicing about? What is He rejoicing about? We read at least two times we're told that He wept in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At two times we're told that He wept, but this is the only place where it said that He rejoiced in His spirit. Now, those two times that He wept are recorded in Luke 19:41, where the Lord Jesus Christ looks over the city of Jerusalem and He's weeping. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killed the prophets and stoned the prophets. How often would I, but you would not. He's weeping over the unbelief of that city, Jerusalem. We've been looking through 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles about all the things that were happening in Jerusalem. And now in the book of Ezra, after 70 years of captivity because of idolatry, now some of the people are coming back from Babylon, back to Jerusalem. But here the Lord Jesus Christ is weeping over that city because of their constant unbelief. And maybe too, He's also weeping about this, remembering the destruction that Nebuchadnezzar brought upon Jerusalem. Not many years after the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh stood in Jerusalem weeping over that city, maybe too He's weeping over the coming destruction by the Romans. Not many years after His death, God sent another destruction upon that city. And the Lord weeps. And then we read in John chapter 11, verse 35. You remember the story there of the brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus was his name. Lazarus, when he died, and his sisters were heartbroken and weeping. And the Lord, when He came to the grave, the shortest scripture that's recorded in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35, said, Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. Why was He weeping? Weeping over the result of sin, weeping again over the unbelief of those around Him. The Lord was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Remember Isaiah 53? Our sin brought Him much sorrow and much grief as He bare our sin and His own body on the tree. He was a real man touched with the feeling of our infirmity, yet without sin. Thank God He had no sin. Such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. But here we find the Lord Jesus Christ rejoicing. Rejoicing in spirit. Rejoicing in His heart, in His mind. What was it that made Him rejoice? It was the salvation of poor, guilty sinners being justified, made whole, and complete in Him. And when He thinks of all that He accomplished, the work of the Father in redeeming His people, honoring the law of God, He rejoices in spirit. Ah, He said, I rejoice. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Him. This is why He came. He came to justify. He came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul put it this way. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Turn back to Luke chapter 5. Remember when the Lord called a publican named Matthew? He was also known as Levi. In Luke chapter 5, remember? In verse 27, he saw a publican named Levi and he said, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company, publicans and others, that sat down with him. The scribes and the Pharisees, they murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" They were quite offended that the Lord associated himself with sinners, with publicans. And the Lord, hearing that, answering, said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You see, the Lord delights to show mercy, and he delights to save sinners. Looking unto Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. There is rejoicing in heaven. Turn over here to Luke 15 just a minute. Verse 1. Luke 15 verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is rejoicing in the salvation of his covenant people. You know there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents? What it says here in Luke 15, verse 1. "Then drew near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them." Boy, they just have one problem, don't they? That's the Lord saving sinners. People still have the same problem today. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he laid on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, his neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which do not need any repentance." The Lord Jesus Christ rejoiced in the salvation of sinners. And he says there, angels in heaven are rejoicing when God saves the sinners. And we rejoice as well, do we not? Now, two conclusions we should take away from this. Number one is this. We ought to encourage everyone, every one of us, this ought to encourage every one of us to seek mercy and pardon of sin where it's found. Now, if the Lord came to save sinners, and he delights to save sinners, let us seek mercy and forgiveness of sin in whom it is found, in Christ alone. He says in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the fountain of the water of life." And then he said, "Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Seek mercy where it's found, in Christ. Secondly, since the Lord delights in the salvation of sinners, should not we also rejoice in him as he saves sinners by his grace? You see, the salvation of a sinner is a great miracle. It's a great miracle of grace. It's the Lord raising up and quickening the dead to life. You see, salvation is a resurrection from the dead. You have he quickened who were dead. Salvation is not a mere reformation of manners. Reformation of life is a resurrection from the dead. He raises up dead men and gives them life in Christ Jesus. And it causes us to rejoice in him. He that hath the Son hath life. You see what he's saying here? In that hour, the Lord Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said. Now here's point number two. Verse 21, the second part. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Here we clearly see lesson number two. We clearly see the Lord is teaching us that salvation is by his sovereign divine choice, not our choice. His sovereign divine choice. It pleased him to reveal these things not to the wise and prudent, but unto babes, unto his elect, unto his children, because it seems good in his sight. Now, John 15:16, our Lord said, you didn't choose me. You remember? The Lord said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. What was Matthew doing when the Lord called him? Collecting taxes. What were those other, Peter, James, and John, what were they doing when the Lord called them out fishing? The Lord called them, and they followed him. You see, what he's saying here is the Lord is sovereign in salvation. The Lord here is rejoicing in the absolute sovereignty of God over all things and giving thanks to the Father. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only rejoicing in the salvation of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ is rejoicing in God Almighty, who is the sovereign ruler absolutely over all things, giving thanks that God is God over all things, that he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or none can say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what are we doing? Now, as I said in the Bible study this morning, God is not the Father of all men. We do not believe in the universal fatherhood of God. He is only the Father of his covenant people, but he is most certainly the God over all men. And that's what he's saying here. I thank thee, O my Father, God of heaven and earth, that you are Lord over all things in heaven and in earth. Now, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he does. In heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess the absolute lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter declared at Pentecost, this same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. I thank thee, O Father, you are Lord of heaven and of earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as God our Savior, is Lord of heaven and earth. Your eternal salvation. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not overstating or misstating. Your eternal salvation is in his hand. Not in your hand. Your salvation is completely out of your hands. Salvation depends upon him, determined by him, accomplished by him, not upon you. Now, we've been fed this lie so long in this country by so many false preachers saying that salvation depends upon you. The gospel's all about you. No, it's not. The gospel's not about you. The gospel's about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is not in your hands, it's in his hands. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. Our Lord prayed in John 17 in his priestly prayer for us. He said, Lord, I thank you. You've given me power. You've given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. David put it this way, Lord, my times are in your hand. Your time's not in your hand. Your salvation's not in your hand. Your salvation's not determined by you. Salvation is determined by God. That's what this book teaches. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man mediator, is thanking His Father that salvation is of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving thanks to the Father for choosing a people unto salvation. The Lord often referred to the elect of God as those given to Him by the Father. Remember in John 6, verse 37? He said, "All that the Father hath given to me." Who's He talking about? He's talking about those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. "All that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me, and those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out." When you read John 17, His priestly prayer for His people, at least 5 or 6 times, He mentioned in that one prayer, "all those that the Father hath given to Him." Matter of fact, He says in verse 9 in that 17th chapter of John, He says, "I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that You have given to Me." Aren't you glad You have a mediator, an intercessor who ever lived to intercede for us? The Lord Jesus Christ and all His people do give thanks to the Lord God Almighty for the sovereign revelation of the gospel to the chief of sinners. And we do say, "He is Lord. He's my Lord, and I bow to Him. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of His power." Now, here's the third thing I've noticed in verse 21 and verse 22. He said, "I rejoice in my spirit, and I give thanks that God Almighty is Lord of heaven and earth." And then He says this, salvation, we're rejoicing in the salvation of the sovereign revelation that's hid, salvation is hid, taken from the wise and prudent, those who think they have merited mercy, merited or earned grace, and hath revealed them unto babes. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." Now notice carefully, this salvation that is of the Lord comes by revelation. Read verse 22. "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." Salvation is by revelation. Not to those who are deserving, not to the wise, not to the prudent, but rather unto babes. Babes who can do nothing, who are nothing, who know nothing, have no merit, have no power. Babe. Why? Because it pleased the Lord to do so. It seemed good in His sight. Now, turn back to the scripture I read earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's hid these things from the arrogant, the foolish, the proud, and has revealed them unto His babes, unto His elect. Now, for the Jews require a sign, verse 22. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Look at verse 26. "You see your calling, brethren, have it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called. God hath chosen." Now, does He have the right? Does He have the right to choose? He said, cannot I do with my own what I will? "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are you in Christ." Now, how'd you get in Christ? What does it say right there? I didn't put myself in Christ. "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus." Now, what does that teach us? That teaches us that salvation is in His hand, not ours. Salvation is by his revelation, not ours. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, stay right there in 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now watch it, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Salvation is not by education. Salvation is by revelation. Turn over a few pages. Find the book of Galatians chapter 1. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Find Galatians chapter 1. And let me read this verse to you while you're finding Galatians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God must turn on the light switch in our darkened, dead heart that we might see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I told you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. I hope you're there. Look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, when will a sinner be saved? When it pleased God, who hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Salvation is by the sovereign revelation of God the Holy Spirit revealing Christ unto our heart. Salvation is made known to the elect of God by the sovereign revelation of God the Holy Spirit, and that happens when God regenerates a sinner, when God raises a dead man from the spiritual grave and makes him to see the Lord Jesus Christ as altogether lovely. Now find in your Bible Matthew chapter 16. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember? Matthew 16, 13. And they said, some, that thou art John the Baptist, some, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. He said to them, of whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. And the Lord answered, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. You see what happens in salvation. God commands the light to shine out of darkness. Peter put it this way, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He did it. Salvation is by the sovereign revelation of God Almighty. Here's the fourth thing I want us to see in this. Back in Luke 10, verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now here's the fourth lesson. We also learn more of the majesty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see clearly here his deity set forth, that he is God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God our Savior. Remember he said in John 10, I and my Father are one. Our Lord declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Remember what he said? Have I been with you so long that you do not know who I am? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one. What's true of him is true of me. I am the eternal God. I am God, your Savior. And that is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And all things are delivered into the sovereign hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, aren't you glad that He's the able Savior? That He is God our Savior? That He has power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to them? That He is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him? That He's able to keep us from falling? That He's able to perform all that He has promised? He's able. I'm persuaded like Abraham. You remember what Abraham said? He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that of all that He had promised, He's able to perform. You see, salvation by His performance, not ours. He's the able Savior, decreed from all eternity to be our Lord. All things in creation are delivered into His hand. All things in providence are delivered into His hand. And most certainly all things in salvation are delivered into His hand as God our Savior. If any man be in Christ, we read in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. All things are delivered to me of my Father. You see that? All things in creation, all things were created by the word of His power. All things in providence of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and all things in salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, here's the last thing I want us to see. Verse 23 and verse 24. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, your eyes are blessed. Now this is talking about here, not these natural eyes. It's talking about the eyes of their understanding. Your eyes are blessed eyes. Blessed are your eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which you have just heard, and they've not heard them. You see what he's saying here? Those who are chosen and those who are given faith to believe the gospel, they are blessed. Blessed are your eyes. Those who are blessed to hear the gospel, to see the gospel, those who are given faith, those who hear the gospel. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And those who are given faith to believe the gospel and look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to rest in Him for all salvation, they are indeed blessed of God. They're blessed of God. It is a great blessing to hear the gospel and to be given understanding, to embrace the person of the gospel. The person of the gospel. To you who believe, He is precious. He is altogether lovely. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. To you who believe, He is indeed precious. Remember our Lord in Matthew 13 when He gave that parable of a sower. And the disciples said, why do you speak in parables? And He said, unto them it's not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto you it is given. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Many of the past have not seen the things that you see. He said, I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see. You see, these apostles were seeing the word of God, the promises of God fulfilled. David believed the promises of God. He believed in the coming of the Messiah, but he didn't see it, and not his day. He saw it by faith. But here, the apostles, he said, your eyes, they're blessed. You see the kingdom of God and the word of God fulfilled in your very presence. Who is the blessed man? Well, I tell you who a blessed man is. It's not blessed as a man whose bank account is full. It's not blessed as a man to whom he has his good health and wealth. That's not a blessed man. But I tell you who a blessed man is. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile, no hypocrisy. Now that's a blessed man. Think about that. Sin forgiven, iniquity not charged to you, righteousness given to you. Psalm 65 describes a blessed man. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Blessed is that man, Jeremiah said, that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is that man. Now what a privilege the Lord has given us here to have a gospel ministry established. The Lord established this ministry. Let us never take it for granted. Let us always give thanks to God. One of the greatest blessings the Lord can give to any community is a gospel church, a gospel ministry that declares the grace of God. Now, two reasons why, and I'll let you go. The Lord is pleased to call out His people, to call out His sheep through the preaching of the gospel. We read that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to call out your people. Aren't you glad He sent you a gospel preacher? I'm thankful the Lord sent me a gospel preacher that I might hear the truth and believe the truth. The Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You cannot believe what you have never heard. You cannot believe an unrevealed Christ. He's made known by the preaching of the gospel and the revelation of God the Holy Spirit. Here's the second thing. The Lord is not only pleased to call out His sheep with the preaching of the gospel, but the Lord is also pleased to feed His sheep through the preaching of the gospel. What I'm doing right here this morning, taking the word, verse by verse, word by word, and repeating what God has already said. The Apostle Paul, when he left those elders at Ephesus on his way to Rome, through Jerusalem, he said, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. And then Peter, writing about that, in 1 Peter 5, he said, feed the flock of God with the word of truth. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. The resurrected Lord said to Peter in John 21, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Remember, Peter was out there fishing. Matter of fact, Peter, most of the commentators think that Peter had quit the ministry. He said, I'm going back fishing. And he took about four or five of those fellows with him, those other apostles. We're going fishing. We're going back to the fishery. And the Lord, the resurrected Lord, appeared to them and He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Remember what He said? Feeding the sheep, feeding the lamb. And then He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Ask him a third time. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that's what we do. That's what we're committed to do here. Is to lift up Christ. To preach the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the children's bread. Now when you come here, why do you come? Isn't it to learn of Him? To have through the preaching of the word, to have your heart, your mind, your soul pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might find comfort in Him, that you might find forgiveness in Him. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, beside me there is no